Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with the show. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Truly appreciate you joining us. Please make sure you like, share, subscribe, and follow. Do whatever it is you can to support us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Well, I wanted to go ahead and make sure with all the stuff going on around the world of entertainment, I bring in one of my favorite guests to come on and stop on by, talk about what's going on in the world of entertainment. And there's some things that he wants to point out. So while everything's going on with Netflix and its three-body problem, while everything's going on with FX and Shogun, while everything's going on with March Madness that's still taking place, even into April, there's still more to talk about in the world of entertainment. And here today to discuss quite a few things, if he wants. He's a good man indeed. He is the man of true knowledge, even when he's in. Or even when he's out, he's still in. If I can read that correctly, it is the man of true knowledge, the guy behind the MCU's bleeding edge. It is Jeff Sloboda. And Jeff, great to have you back, my friend.
It's good to be back. I enjoy being on the Pop Culture Cosmos, so I'm just happy to have the invite.
Absolutely. Well, my computer will ever send you the invite. Sometimes that, you know, that is a little bit delayed because of how
difficulties will happen to all of us, or even the best of us.
Yes, that's true. Well, my computer is aging faster than me, and I didn't think that was possible. But I will say, though, one of the things that you wanted to talk about was a series or a season, could be a series that ending or a season that's picked up later on, that is The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, which just recently ended its run for a possible season 1, could be leading a season 2. We don't know as of yet. We do know Dead City is already working on season 2. So the Walking Dead franchise, which so many have walked away from, still is there. And while I joke about that, Jeff, the ratings for the initial entry in the Ones Who Live, because it was a return for Danai Gurira and Andrew Lincoln, who a lot of people back in the day were very sad for him to leave. He is now returned to play the role of Rick Grimes and, of course, Michonne as well. They did their job. The problem is the show itself, whether you liked it or hated it, it doesn't matter because it was a return. It did the numbers that it needed to do. And in the end, as one of the biggest series openers in 5-6 years, I think was the case, according to AMC. It is still, again, the love is there in some form or fashion or amount for The Walking Dead. So your thoughts, my friend, on The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, as far as the CRM, the whole, we're going to go ahead and take everything in as far as a military state is concerned and have a military control, and it's up to just Michonne and Rick to go ahead and save the day once again. Your thoughts, my friend. We'll probably go into spoilers on this one, because if you haven't seen the 6 episodes already, it's already available. So go ahead and check it out. But your thoughts, my friend, on The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
On the finale episode, Gerald, I'll say that it really seems clear by the way they wrapped up the episode that the story is finished. I don't see a second season coming off of this episode. I just want to point that out right off the bat. That's just my opinion. But if you know, you watched Dead City like I did and reviewed it, if you reviewed Daryl Dixon, they were setting up second seasons. This show was not setting up another season.
Yeah, they tried at that helicopter ride back home to Alexandria. They tried to just like have a reporter do a voiceover, tried to sweep everything under the rug.
They did a time jump and everything with that and didn't show us any of whatever happened.
No, but they say everything is all settled, everything is great. Yeah, now.
I didn't like how they handled the CRM. I was honestly disappointed with the finale. I love the series itself as a whole, but the finale was probably the worst episode out of the 6 for me. to tell you the truth. And I rated it like a 7 just because I didn't like the CRM was such a great villain, right? As an overarching villain, like the CRM Beal, it created such good tension during the series, right? They built it up so much and that tension was so important, right? So to just have them wrap up and tie up that whole storyline like that, bam, just in that finale, like they set up so much leading up to it, it just seemed like they kind of like, you know, rushed it a little bit and just killing Beal off like that and whatnot. I felt like they could have serviced his character better than that and whatnot. They were set up after episode 5 to go into another season, right?
Well, the CRM, I will give you that as a villain type deal. They could have been a lot larger represented. They could have been more extended represented. They could have lasted. This could have lasted longer or much, much more threatening than let's just make them the villain of the day or the villain of the season and then just finish them off at the end of the episode, which they did. And it just, to me, there was a lot of problems with this show.
Yeah, it was very flawed. Just the whole, like, you know, the whole dossier being what the stupid crap that it was.
Yeah.
We're all going to die in 15 years. Like, I'm sorry, but that was kind of sloppy and it kind of shocked me because the writing was so good across the board in the series and the storytelling. It just seemed like they really skipped a beat. Like episode 5 was almost set up for what I thought was going to be another season. And if you watch other reviewers, other YouTubers that covered the show, they'll tell you the same thing. They were shocked that coming off of episodes 4 and 5, the finale went the way it did.
I just, for me, I just never got really into it. I never thought it was really something cataclysmic or invested. I just, the events and how it followed and how Rick wanted to, in real life, wanted to go ahead and make sure that his character lost his hand, similar to what the comic book character did. He wanted to find a way to do so. And okay, whatever. And then Michonne, how they found each other. It was just, okay, all of this is a matter of convenience. All of this, as far as the story, storytelling, the writing, the screenplay, all of it seemed like it was just a matter of convenience. And to me, that was very disappointing. Plus, also, as well, a lot of the exposition was made by Leslie Ann Brandt's character, Pearl, who is South.
The storyline I thought was also not well serviced in the finale.
No, they just I guess killed her off apparently, but you don't know that for sure. So they just kind of swept her under her character under the rug as well. But they gave her character a ton of exposition more than any other character in the show. And I think
episodes they did. Yes.
But the problem is her character with the South African dialect. It's hard to understand. And it is very hard for her to articulate everything that was going on that I think that everybody could follow it. I think that the way what things she wanted to get across, especially in larger detail, in larger diatribes that she was given, I think was harder for her to go ahead and correlate to a wider
audience. Loss of the Okafor character was rough because he was that actor did a great job with that character, man.
I agree. Okafor, I mean, and I'm not trying to slight Leslie in the slightest. I just think that they gave her a lot to go ahead and express. And in doing so with the very distinct South African dialect, it is very hard to follow and get that point across.
They kept the secondary character count low.
Yes. And well, obviously, that last scene of when they land in Alexandria tells you the truth. Just the kids were there waiting for them. What about the rest of Alexandria?
I know. I said too in the interview, I'm like, well, I wanted to see them walk through Alexandria. And, you know, the other thing is too, is that, I mean, the show did some really good things. Like it did have some real positives. I thought like, you know, the first couple episodes were really well done. They built up a lot of the political intrigue with the CRM and with Pearl. Okafor, you know, with Okafor's death, I thought, oh, well, this is The Walking Dead. They kill off good characters. This is what they do. But episode 5 where they brought in Father Gabriel from The Walking Dead was genius. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. I liked his return. I enjoyed it
thoroughly. How it impacted the Jadis character?
Yes. It was nice to see that they were having those that type of relationship where they would have a reunion each and every year, and which he would try to do what he can to communicate with her about what wrong she is doing. But the Okafor character, Craig Tate, was the actor. He did a really good job. And I think, like you said, killing off a major character seems to be the TWD's MO all the time. And unfortunately, in doing so, I think it, again, put a lot of unfair weight onto Leslie Ann Brandt's character. And I think that was a lot of the undoing of the series for me. I think this, again, this series, you know, it had to do a lot of work in such a short period of time, and I don't think it got it done to the point where I'm happy with it, and I'll leave it with that. But again, overall, it's something where people wanted to see Rick and Michonne back. They got Rick and Michonne back, which leads me to a larger question. You say it's pretty much done as far as season one. The ratings, like I said,
they used those extended flashbacks to the actual Walking Dead series result, which was also genius in the finale. Just to fan service the original fans, and also to get people to actually want to go back and watch the Walking Dead show and keep their AMC Plus subscriptions.
Absolutely. And of course, what they did in that voiceover pretty much finished off that season. But I don't think Rick and Michonne are done. They could say they're done, but I don't think so. And the reason why is this. With Dead City, like you said, coming up, already working on a season two. With Daryl Dixon already working on a season two.
About the summer.
As a man who absolutely gives you the knowledge on the MCU, could we see at least a series or a final representation and I guess a TWD Avengers Assemble at some point in time? Because I think at some point in time, there has to be an end for the TWD. And I think they just, at some point in time, they have to realize that Robert Kirkman or whoever has to just go ahead and say, you know what? I think we need to go ahead and end this. Let's just get everybody together. Let's do one last thing. The CRM versus them would have been probably the best thing I think would have been done for them as far as a cataclysmic Avengers Endgame type deal, as far as battling each other and all that. But they obviously chose not to go ahead and extend that. But I think a Avengers style team up, I think, is probably going to have to be an ending of the TWD.
I don't agree. I don't think the plan ever was to have them commingle. I think the most commingling you're going to see is Maggie and Negan in their series, and Daryl and Carol finding themselves in Daryl Dixon. They didn't design these shows. This is the end of the Rick and Michonne story. They're not going to be back. That finale was set up to end their story. There's nowhere for them to really go. Now, don't you think they've already gone to Danny and Andrew and asked them about season two by now? Now, they gave them executive producer roles on the show and whatnot, and they had a lot of say on the creativity level, right? In the creative level and whatnot. Danny wrote episode 4, I believe it was, did a great job, or episode 5, she wrote it. And I appreciate that they did that with them, but I don't see them interconnecting it. I mean, I thought for a while there, maybe you might see Rick and Daryl get back together, Rick, Daryl, and Carol, because ultimately Daryl is looking for Rick, right? Like, that's what he was trying to do before he ended up in France. He was looking for Rick. Right. So, but I just honestly, this is just my opinion, Gerald. I don't see in the fandom, because I'm in these Walking Dead private chats, right? I'm in there. I'm good with the admins. They let me plug my content and whatnot and all that. You know, I put up the links. We've actually gotten a really good spike of viewership and whatnot on our live streams and whatnot from these chats and these diehard Walking Dead fans. They want to see the MCU interconnectivity. Of course they do. We talked about that on the show the other day, how the MCU has influenced everything so well, so much over the course of 15 years, right? That everyone expects the interconnectivity and everything now, every like IP that comes out, right? Where they do a spinoff or like they do some kind of like, you know, you get whatever I'm going with this. Everyone has an expectation, but I just don't see it happening, Gerald. I don't.
Thanks for checking out the PCC. You know, the Pop Culture Cosmos. We'll be back in one moment.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, I'm telling you, as someone who worked in Hollywood industry, I'm just going to tell you right now, my friend.
Yes.
Ratings.
Yes.
Sometimes dictates all. And if, again, for the opener to be their 6-year AMC ratings high, to me, says a lot about that there's still one last gasp that they can go down, because they have to go ahead and finish this off. And finish this off soon, but to just go another season, then people are just going to get burned out. It's just like The Walking Dead again.
They very well could tie it all off into that direction. It could go there, right? Who knows? You know, or you never know, too, Gerald. They could end the Rick and Michonne series, and I don't think that AMC would be happy with just the other two. There are other characters that they could go with and whatnot. They could make another spinoff series.
Okay, because I'm just going to tell you, Dead City season 2 and Daryl Dixon season 2, they're not going to pop big numbers anymore because they're already in season 2 and the fans are already there or they're not there. The only way that, you know, I'm going to use the wrestling vernacular because I'm going to have on my good friend John here in a few minutes talking WrestleMania. The only way they're going to get another ratings pop is if they all come together for one final mission or one final battle in order to go ahead and end this Walking Dead is entirely because, again, you know, Andrew Lincoln, Danai Gurira.
Everything you're saying, it all lines up in my head. I know exactly what you're saying. All the pieces fit.
They're not getting any younger.
It fits for what you're saying, that they would go in that direction. Again, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in Daryl Dixon season 2, right? It's going to come out in a couple of months.
Yes.
Right?
See, the thing is how many people are excited for it. And that it's not to the level of interest that what we saw from The Ones Who Live.
It was a good show, Daryl Dixon. It was solid.
It was okay for what it was. But again, just I see the numbers. My reasoning and rationale for a lot of the stuff is, what does the general audience at large want? Not just the TWD hardcore. The ones in your chat room, they've got them. AMC has always got them.
I tell them that they have them.
They could put the Walking Dead strategy game on AMC for 2 hours, and they'll watch it. The hardcore.
They will.
Okay, but it's what the general audience at large, do they see it? And that's the thing. The Ones Who Live, they were supported by a larger audience that had come back to go see Rick and Michonne. And I think unless you're going to go ahead and get them all together for one final run, you're probably not going to see those high numbers again. And it's just going to go down, you know, as it was successive seasons of Dead City and Daryl Dixon to, okay, why are we still putting this on? You know, Fear the Walking Dead numbers, if for lack of a better term.
You've changed my mind on this now, because now that you've put it to me that way, I can see now where probably in the future I'm going to be more.
Well, let's say you're in the AMC boardroom, my friend. What would you want? Do you want more dwindling numbers?
No, from a standpoint of what's best for the bottom line. I think that probably the smartest move is to make sure that all these characters, as many of them as possible from the original show, come back together in some kind of final arc.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Where, you know,
six episodes, eight episodes, whatever, just end it all. Say it's finally the end of The Walking Dead. Finally, done. You know, when you see enough residual returns for Dead City and Daryl Dixon, say, you know, when you see the declining returns. Because that's what usually happens over the course of seasons. Like that's a lot of times, because they already know these characters for so long, they're probably not going to stay with it as much as they were.
The question is too, though, Gerald, will people like Danny and Andrew sign up for something like that if it's not written really well, right, and done well?
I'm not sure this was really written and done well.
listen, I don't think it was all that. I thought, honestly, if you really want to know the truth, I think Daryl Dixon was better than Rick and Michonne.
Well, I would agree with you there. I even like Dead City, especially with the villainous character.
I thought it tailed off very heavily after like episode three. It kind of...
I still found it a little bit better than The Ones Who Live. But again, I'm just going to say that The Ones Who Live was the one who's got the numbers.
It does.
And yeah, and it, you know, even though it's all... You know, that last voiceover by the newscaster, all tidied up, everything was tied with a bow and all that, it's all fancy stuff. It's still going to leave everybody that wants to see more Rick and Michonne one last time to say, you know what, it's just going to come down to it. If you're an AMC exec, you've got to make a choice on what you want to do for the future. And yeah, you can keep on making the success of season two and maybe even a season three. But you're never going to get the kind of numbers again unless you bring back Rick Michonne and you put them together with Daryl and everybody else, Negan, all that stuff, you know, the stuff. So
at the end of the day, that would be the home run, would be to show more, as many of the original, just like the OG Avengers, same kind of deal, right? Same correlation.
One last run. And that's why I thought the CRM would have been good for that as a
fourth. Oh, yeah, as an overarching villain.
Yeah, because you made them out to be in the show.
In the finale, they even connected them to the stuff in Daryl Dixon and all that.
So you did enough to go ahead and have it supported that. But the problem is, you know, you killed most of the forces off with one blow. And I think in doing so, you got rid of them as a villainous entity going forward. So
they're still going to survive. All they did was blow up a portion of the military.
But they also, the military, if in that voiceover at the very end is so important, because they talked about where the CRM was, they made an agreement and they were taken over by now the government, you know, the bodies of government now, as far as it's been changed. Yeah, it basically wiped out the CRM as an entity going forward, as an evil entity going forward. So again, my friend, much to discuss if that's the case, but I think that's going to be their only option if they want one last pop in ratings for The Walking Dead to grease. I feel like The Walking Dead is like a wet rag and they're just trying to squeeze and wring out every single drop they have left.
Well, I feel like Shogun is a series where I wish I could like pay somebody for them.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's end our segment with this then, with Shogun. Again, I've talked about on the show with Don Fobbs, with Josh Peterson, with Melinda Barkhouse-Ross, how Shogun for me so far, seven episodes in now, has been the best television show for 2024. Just basically it's been the best of the year. But tell everyone out there exactly in your own words why you think it's been so good.
Excellent directing, excellent paying attention to all corners of detail when it comes to production. This took years in the making to put together. I mean, just the writing process alone was them writing here in America, then sending the script over the story, you know, the scripts over to Japan to be translated, then brought back to America, right? That was the process. FX, I can't wait to see the budget numbers. I just saw the Rick and Michonne numbers. $85 million for that show, whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the Shogun budget at the end of this show, because from the costume design, but the writing, Gerald, the writing and the storytelling, there's no messaging in it. There's no, you know, woke. I'm going to go there. There's no woke anything there, you know. There's strong female characters in the show, very strong, that are very impactful. On the series, right? Anna Sawi is out acting Cosmo Jarvis, as far as I'm concerned, and not only through episode chapter six, because we're a week behind. Mm-hmm. You know, we do that, but I think the writing and directing, especially, I love the fact that they've had different writers and directors from chapter to chapter. I thought chapter six, we just reviewed it last night, was stellar, a stellar episode, and it's such a rich show. Just that intro that they have is so good. Every chapter, every episode is complete at the end, right? From start to finish, it's complete, right? Moving on to the next chapter. And then it just starts over again, the story. And then it completes, and then it repeats. And just that consistency, even when you're having different writers across the span of different episodes, you know, hats off to the executive producers, like, you know, Hiroyuki, you know, Sanada, right? You know, for all the work he put into it and whatnot. And the acting has just been outstanding. Anna Sawi.
Yes. She's been killing it. She's been absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah, especially in Chapter 6. She just destroyed it. Yes. And that scene with her and the courtesan at the courtesan house was like Emmy winning writing, like Shakespearean almost, and acting. I love Fuji. Fuji's my MVP. Mm-hmm. I want more Fuji.
Okay.
She's either Stepakone herself one episode, or you know, she never know with her.
Exactly. But yeah, it's been tremendous so far. Is highly recommended by both you and I. It is, of course, Shogun. Please catch up on the episodes on FX if you get a chance. It is definitely worth your time. It is definitely better than what I remember of the original Shogun miniseries. So, yeah, if you get a chance, please check it out today. It is Shogun, available on Hulu, FX, and also as well, of course, Disney Plus. And that's the thing. People were surprised that Disney Plus was carrying this. But, yeah. Greatly appreciate Disney Plus. I think it's just coming to the point where Disney Plus is just going to have to absorb Hulu and FX or something like that and just say, you know what?
All
under the Disney Plus.
I'm sure you probably already talked about it. You already know that there's a day coming here soon where some of these services are going to be like coming together,
consolidated and whatnot. Yeah, absolutely.
They spent way too much money and everything and whatnot. And
yeah. Couldn't agree with you more on that. But
go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, before we head on out, it's your cheap plug time, my friend, because guess what? You got to catch up, everybody, on your awesome channel, the MCU's Bleeding Edge. So I've got radio stations around the world that are actually listening to you, you know, that are listening to this or when they get this, that want to know what's going on with the
MCU. Oh, I feel a lot of pressure now, but no, the MCU's Bleeding Edge is actually doing really damn well. We are killing it. With our live streams, our live audiences we've been setting records for the last couple of weeks, week after week. But you can find us Monday nights, Wednesday nights, and Friday nights. We live in the evening, and we're on our main platform and home base is YouTube. We're digital creators, although we have a podcast. It's on all the podcasting platforms. You can find us on X, YouTube, Twitch, you know, Rumble, you know, Facebook Live, all the major platforms. We're on all of them. We live on all of them. And we cover basically a lot of episodical TV series. We do movie reviews and we do, you know, pop culture news and fandom rumors and casting, you know, news and events and whatnot, just like Gerald, you know, just more with an MCU lean. But we cover stuff across the board, like we're doing Shogun. We're about to do Fallout, right? That's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover The House of the Dragon, season 2, when it comes out. And we're going to do, you know, The Acolyte when that comes out. So we do Star Wars, we do fandom stuff, and come check us out at the MCU's Bleeding Edge. We're the same title, every platform, all our socials, it's all the MCU's Bleeding Edge.
I'll tell you what, though, it is a great time. I've been on this show before. It's absolutely incredible cast. Each and every time, it's got great panels, with always great opinions. It is, of course, the MCU's Bleeding Edge. And, of course, he does cover the MCU. Are you guys going to be covering a certain signing or a certain actress who may become the next Silver Surfer?
Well, of course, that would be on our Monday show, the MCU's Bleeding Edge Report. We actually have a titled show now, and that's when we cover all of our pop culture fandom rumors and casting news and whatnot and all that.
Okay.
A lot of interesting stuff going on, sir. We'll have to talk MCU next time I come on.
Absolutely. Would love to do so, and I know it's been a very interesting 24 hours since that report came out in regards to that. I'll say the opinions are all over the place, and I'll just leave it at that. But it is, of course, Jeff Sloboda, the man of true knowledge. Even when he's out, he's still in. Jeff, always great to have you talking anything you want of pop culture, anytime you want, right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
And we're back with the Pop Culture Cosmos. Gerald Glassford, thanks so much again for watching, listening. Truly appreciated. She has returned to us. Indeed, it is, of course, Miss Dawn Fobbs. You know her from the Mother Daughter Ish podcast, but she's also our TV expert. It is Dawn Fobbs. Dawn, great to have you here. Thank you. We're talking some TV. And I will note to all the Walking Dead fans that the Walking Dead, the ones who live, just concluded its season with Danai Gurira and Andrew Lincoln. I was not impressed at all with the series this time around. This reunion, which so many have been looking forward to, I thought the story was somewhat uninspired, but again, any reason, I guess, to bring them back together and to bring them back on the screen for Walking Dead fans, I guess, is a good one. So we will leave it at that. But Miss Dawn, I know there's a ton of things that you've been watching. So before I go into the three things I've been wanting to go ahead and talk to you about, what have you been checking out lately on television?
Well, you know, I told you I was anticipating on Hulu to see Kate Winslet's new series. And I don't like the way they do the rollout. Well, they'll do one or two and just give me the whole thing and let me watch it. So
you've been weaned on Netflix.
I have been spoiled on just everything, watching it after the fact instead of in real time type of thing. But it has not disappointed. It's been really good. It's been, you know, a little quirky and a little funny, and I've kind of stuck with it. So that's on Hulu, of course. Also Hulu kind of gave me a boost of energy, and I binge watched it the whole day on, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday or something. Gosh, I just forgot the name of it. The Queen,
The Crown?
The Serpent Queen. And I love all those period piece type of shows. The Serpent Queen is on there. I'm just waiting for Outlander to bring season 9. You know, I'm ready for it, but it hasn't made it there yet. But The Serpent Queen did not disappoint at all. It was great from the beginning to the end. And again, I'm with all the period pieces. So Damsel on Netflix caught my attention just by surprise, because I had not been anticipating, because I didn't know about it. But I just happened to go over there and it just kind of showed up, and I went, oh my gosh, let me see what this is about. It was so fun. It was so cute. It was so too real, you know, like the things that we already hear that happens in royal families and things like that. So it was really a good one. And then now I'm starting to see so many people talk about Damsel, and I'm like, I thought I'd be the only weird one watching it. And then of course, again, on Netflix, Irish Wish with Lindsay Lohan. Now listen, my girls, when they were young, they watched everything on, you know, Disney with Miley Cyrus. They watched everything with Lindsay Lohan and all of those fun shows. And so I kind of got adopted into the loving Lindsay Lohan character, you know, the characters that she plays. And so the Irish Wish was very, very cute. Rom-com to the max, you know, nothing short of that rom-com. Of course, Shirley came out a couple of Fridays ago on Netflix, and that was very interesting. I, of course, already knew the story and all of that, but it was really, really good. And then one more thing, and then I'll tell you that I did try to get into one of the things you're going to talk about, and we'll talk about it when you talk about it. But another thing I got into, I watched Supercell, which came out in 2023, but it just made its way over to streaming. And that was very interesting, because that show, Supercell movie, happened last year, but we actually had a real event like that in Texas this year. Mm-hmm. So that was very kind of, that's what made me actually watch it, because of what happened last month in West Texas with the big, big, huge storm that just tore up the whole place. And that made me watch it. And it just kind of made me feel like, wow, that's really, really wild, with all the movies that kind of foretell all these weird type of things, you know, leave the world behind with the big boat starting everything, and then the boat hitting the bridge. And it just was kind of wild. So let's talk about your three, because that's what I've been watching. So you can see I've been really diving in since I got back from Costa Rica with my daughter. It's been kind of like a slow churning back to, wait a minute, I do have a job.
No worries. And it's for us, I guess, with Netflix, it starts with Three Body Problem, which is outside of the religious programming. the most popular series right now on the network. It has been the talk of much out there in social media in regards
to follow it.
I liked it.
I tried twice. I tried when you sent me a message about it, and I tried again last night. And I just didn't. I think it, for me, I don't like all the caption reading and all of that. I didn't enjoy it at all. So I wanted to hear your take on what you thought about it, because I tried twice and it didn't catch me at all. And I went 2 or 3 seasons in and still was like, I don't like this show. So what's so popular about it?
Well, what's so popular is it's based off of a worldwide best-selling book. There was a Chinese adaptation as far as originally, because it's a Chinese, it came out of the book came out of as far as the Chinese author, but there was a Chinese adaptation to it. This is the American adaptation to it, or the international adaptation, I should say. Okay. To me, the fact that it was a globe-trotting adventure, the fact that there was mystery and intrigue involved in the beginning, it does get a little bit talky as far as sometimes talking over the head of the audience in regards to the different dynamics involved. So I can get that. But the subtitles never bother me. I think for me, a great movie is, or a great television show is, absolutely whatever language it is, I can follow. It doesn't matter to me. I thought it was okay overall. Again, I thought it was really good when it was dealing with the mystery of what's going on and how things are taking place and putting pieces together on if this could lead to something on a much larger scale, which it eventually does. But in the last half, in the last few episodes, some bad CGI kind of fails it a little bit, but it does lead you into a season 2 in regards to this, and that does lead into it. It's kind of an interesting angle where it's a mystery, but then it leads you to a alien invasion or impending alien invasion type scenario. And in doing so, it creates a larger, global conspiracy that I really find intriguing. And you don't know who is working with the aliens and who is working against them and working for humanity. So it really is actually something I thought was impressive. It was by the creators of the Game of Thrones. They were absolutely behind it. And again, I think it's a really solid watch. I think it could have been a little bit better if they had put some things into place, a little bit better CGI and a little bit better ways to wrap up on those final episodes. But what they've got there is pretty good. It's been talked about, and that's all you need to do in these days and ages is being talked about. And three-body problem. Again, it isn't for everybody. In fact, my co-host Melinda, she had to rewatch it just to make sure she was getting everything down. So it is definitely understandable why Three-Body Problem is, as successful as it is, but it's also as confusing to a lot of people as it is as well.
Right. Okay. What else you got?
Well, again, I said the other day on the show, I advertised on the show that you were not on, as far as the best TV show that you're not watching. And it's on Max right now. It's in its second season. It's just about ready to finish out its second season. Okay. It is Tokyo Vice.
Okay.
As Michael Mann, Daniel Cretton, a lot of big names are attached to it. And as far as executive producing this, and it's absolutely just sensational. First season was good, very good. I put it on my best of pop culture list, but the second season has gotten even better. It is really good. It's transpired so well. The fact that they're actually able to go ahead and film in as many places in Tokyo that they have, and that they had to get permission from various sources, including trying to make sure that the real life Yakuza themselves, the mafia in Japan, doesn't get mad with what they were doing, because the show is about the Yakuza in the mafia in Japan, in regards to an American that a reporter that takes a job with the most popular newspaper in Tokyo in Japan, and tries to uncover all the stuff, the conspiracies and the seriousness and stuff that's going on behind the scenes, the battles between the various gangs and whatnot. It is very intriguing. It is a must watch, I think, for everybody out there. But the fact that Max has not promoted well is, I think, a crime to all television. So if you get a chance and you do have Max, and you're finished watching Dune Part 1 or you're waiting for Dune Part 2, go ahead and check out Tokyo Vice. It is well worth the watch.
You will be surprised. I had never seen Dune, nothing. I don't know anything about it. And about a week or so ago, I told myself, let's see. And I actually liked it. Can you believe it? I was like, I get it. I was like, I like this. And so now I understand why people were running out to the movie theater and running out to go and see
the new part one. Two.
Yeah. My daughter said, I thought you had seen that before. I said, no. She said, oh, yeah, I could have told you that would have been one you liked. I said, yeah, but I'm a girl. I've never seen Star Wars. I've never seen Star Trek. I've never seen any of those. She said, yeah, but I knew you would like Dune. And I was like, you should have told me sooner because I didn't know. It's just from you and I having a conversation, I got curious and I went over and I literally watched it. I didn't use it as a background noise while I'm in my office working. No, I literally watched it and was like, I like this. Okay, now I get it.
I enjoyed part one as far as building a world. I thought it did an incredible job. And part two, if you ever see it in theaters, it's an incredible experience. It is still available in theaters if you get a chance to go ahead and check it out. Or if you want to go ahead and check it out, wait for it to come to Max. It will come to Max eventually by the end of the year. Yeah. It is going to be, I'll tell you what, I watched it. I've seen it. Absolutely love Dune Part 2. You can't go wrong with it. But leading into Max, if you're, do you have Max, Tokyo Vice? I highly recommend it, seasons 1 and 2. If you really want to get behind the scenes of what life is like in Tokyo, this was based in Tokyo, I believe around the year 2005, 2006, 2007, because you'll see the old style cellular phones and some things as far as cars and things like that, from that area of time. So it deals with that area of time. But if you're really interested in checking that out, it's a highly recommended there. Okay. Go ahead and check it out. The last thing I think I want to go ahead and cover on my end, actually two things. Want to go ahead and cover it. First off is The Gentleman, which was recommended by my co-host on Monday's show, Josh, in regards to catching that. It is from the actual maker of the movie, The Gentleman. So if you, Guy Ritchie, who's made and directed several films over the year.
Guy Ritchie. Every movie he's ever made, I like it.
So if you're into that British offbeat, off-kilt humor, per se, then The Gentleman on Netflix is right up your alley. It's a solid watch again.
I was wondering about that one. I saw it and I passed it up and I went, maybe somebody will tell me. I don't want to go in, like, you know how sometimes you can go on YouTube and you can see the synopsis. I was like, I don't want to ruin it. But I didn't know that Guy Ritchie wrote it. So I for sure know I will like it and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a solid watch for me. And that, again, my co-host on Monday, Josh, is an actual huge Guy Ritchie fan. So he was just saying that this fit in right with all the movies that he's helped create and absolutely as a TV series. Yeah. So there you go. The Gentleman on Netflix. But last but not least is coming a show that's about ready to almost end its run in season one, maybe. We don't know. Okay. Shogun on FX and Hulu as a spectacular retelling of the famous book, and also as well the famous 1980, the date how back that was, with Richard Chamberlain TV miniseries. This recreates it for the modern era, but still it's based in 16 or 17th century Japan, a stranger in a strange land type deal, helping and assisting feudal Japan, where they're feuding between the lords, the lord that is on the good side, the good guy, is being helped by the gaijin, the guy that's out there coming from England, and then there's a forbidden love story there too that's tied in there, of course. It's absolutely fantastic. The cinematography is absolutely stunning. The way it portrays ancient Japan, and absolutely it's something I think that people out there can't miss, and they don't need to miss it, because not only is it on FX, not only is it on Hulu, but it's on Disney Plus. So you've got three choices to go ahead and check out Shogun. There's absolutely no excuse. It is so far right now the best, even a little bit above Tokyo Vice. It is the best of television for 2024.
Yeah, I think Netflix is and like all the others are pulling out all the stops to keep us. Every time I say, if it goes up another dollar, and then they roll out something. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, now, you know, and Mae Bridgerton's coming back. So, you know, this little chokehold that they got us in is kind of funny to me, because I'm like, okay, you don't watch that much TV. That
well, this is all the rollout from the strike, like start doing part two.
Oh, I know. Remember we talked about it and we said, watch right around the spring, summer, fall, it's just going to boom, all pop out. And now I'm going like, there's some, you know, really there's some good TV programming. There's some really good TV out there. And if you've got several, like I've got the Max, I've got Hulu, got Netflix, got Paramount, got Disney Plus, if you've got kind of like a mixture of them all, there's really no need for you not to have some really good TV going on, because my next thing that I'm getting ready to watch is The Spanish Princess. I like all of those kings and queen type of shows, but that one, it's so funny how Hulu was advertising on Instagram and it said, you want to get Stars so you can watch Outlander. You want to get Hulu so you can watch The Spanish Princess. And you also want to be able to watch, I think it said, like some other show on Netflix. And I went, oh, man, they trying to make you have all of them. So I was like, oh, I never heard of The Spanish Princess. So let me watch her, since I just watched The Serpent Queen. And all of those shows, it all started maybe about 10, 15 years ago with Rain. When Rain was on Fox Channel, I had never been into the Kings and Queens shows and didn't care. And then all of a sudden, Rain came on Fox and got canceled. And then it landed over on Netflix. And since then, it's been anything in those centuries I'm down for. I mean, they've just been really great. They kicked me into watching things like The Vikings. They kicked me into watching, you know, all these, the Barbarian. I mean, I'm just... all of those I love, 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 love. I will stop everything to make sure I get those in.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Well, absolutely. Some great viewing there. The thing that I think that we're starting to look at is, like you said, the rollout of some really good stuff, fallout from the strike or whatnot. Yeah. I know that in Netflix, one of the big things that they're going to show in Netflix for April is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. I know it got mixed reviews at best. I don't know if it met the expectations for Netflix on the amount of people watching it, but let's hope that Part 2 is going to be a little bit better than Part 1. Because I know that Part 1 had a lot of issues attached to it. When I watched it, I know that a lot of people out there that like science fiction had issues with it as well. But again, it is something I think from as far as Snyder, from the Snyder, his version of the Snyderverse, as far as Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver coming up. That's probably the biggest release for April on Netflix. So we'll see what happens there. So. Miss Dawn, always great to have you here giving us the update on what you're checking out on television, but please let us know what you're up to at the Mother-Daughter-ish show before we head on out.
Well, I tell you, we had such a great time in Costa Rica. I've got so much footage from Costa Rica that it's just absolutely crazy. So I'll be rolling all of that out really soon. And it's coming up to spring and summer. And I just really want to highlight a lot of the activities and events and outdoor type of things and all the new brunch places that are opening. So it's going to be really more about outside, you know, restaurants and festivals and events and things like that. I've got a big trip coming up in 2 weeks to Savannah, Georgia. So I'll be stopping through New Orleans, going through Georgia on the way back, stopping through Mississippi, stopping through Baton Rouge. And so really my next 60 days is going to really be mostly out and about and what's going on in different places that I am in. And then when the summer comes, I'm just going to have even more fun with it. And I think talk about being in the middle part of the year and really gearing up for 2025. That's how far ahead my mind is thinking. And, you know, I know we've got a lot of significant movies coming up to the movie theater, like Bad Boys, and we've got Civil War coming and all of this other stuff coming to the movies. And I will be going to the movies to see a couple of those at least. But and I'll be talking about them on the show. So it's going to be out and about. It's going to be food. It's going to be travel. It's going to be movies at the movie theater type of conversation, just to kind of make this spring, summer just kind of fun right before we get back into the fall, which is always a little bit more serious. You know, school's going back, college is going back. You know, people are making work changes and things like that. So I'll probably kick off a business series when it comes to April and take that through to the end of the year, just talking about different businesses that people can start thinking about now so that they can be ready for their 2025. Because I always like to think at least 6 months ahead for helping people with gearing up for the new year.
Absolutely. A great plan indeed. So please, everyone out there, go ahead and check out the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Well, Dawn, you killed it once again, as you always do. But any last thoughts before we head on out?
Well, the only last thoughts that I would like to put out is that I think we need to dig a little bit more into Paramount and see what else is over there. And also, I understand that Hulu is going to have some really great new programming. So maybe next time we talk, we can dig into Paramount, dig in a little bit deeper with Hulu and any other. I haven't heard of any new streaming networks that are kind of at the forefront. I've heard of a few. Don't get me wrong. There are at least three that I've heard of just this week. I heard of one today, but it's not my type of programming because I'm not into reality TV and all of that. But if I hear anything about any new streaming networks, I think everybody's kind of calmed down and said, okay, these big guys, they're big. We're going to have to do something so significant to beat them that it just may not work. And so I think you've seen a little bit of a calming down, like we're just going to chill right here because it would take too many millions and billions of dollars to kind of surpass them. I think everybody's kind of geared up for the Mike Tyson fight.
Yes.
With Logan. I think it's Logan because he has a brother, but Logan Paul, I believe.
Jake Paul. It's actually Jake Paul.
So it's going to actually be really interesting. I won't be watching, of course, because I'm not into sports, but I'll tell you something funny. You know, the last time we spoke, we were talking about Netflix and them getting into this whole sports arena and everything. And I'm starting to see even more sports talk with new sports. There's supposed to be like a new sports kind of talk show type of thing. So I'm seeing a lot more sports talk on Netflix. So I said, you know what? We can say we predicted it.
That's true. So please go ahead and check out Don Fobbs Today, the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Well, my friend, it's always great to have you here. Looking forward to our next conversation right around the corner for what's coming up in May, because you know what May is all about? May sweeps.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be a little different because of, you know, the shortened seasons.
Yeah.
And the short number of episodes for a lot of the broadcast televisions, but still much to discuss, like you said, and the future Paramount. Who knows what's going to happen by then? So much to discuss when you come around for your May TV report. It's Miss Dawn Fobbs. She's back at it. You know, she'll be watching some TV and she'll be telling you about what's going on in the world of television right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Check out what's going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos show and the PCC Multiverse.
But watching this, like if this could make me a fan of documentaries, it's like a gateway drug. Like this could open the door for so many people who have not sat down and watched a documentary because it is so enthralling.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Because I think that we've hit a point with our entertainment where we're asking a little bit more than fart jokes and toilet humor.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. Available on radio stations worldwide and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much again for joining us. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Truly appreciate you joining us again for everything pop culture. Want to thank so much Jeff Sloboda from the MCU's Bleeding Edge, and also as well, Don Fobbs from the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. Always blessed to have both come by and share their thoughts on the world of pop culture. Do not forget, on Monday, Josh and I will cover the world of pop culture. Once again, we'll look at the box office with some new movies coming out. A24 Civil War, the much talked about movie depicting a hypothetical civil war in the United States. That's absolutely been given some solid reviews. So we'll go ahead and see what the early returns are for that one. Plus also as well as Zendaya returns to the screen with Challengers, a also highly rated movie that's come out regarding the tennis world. So definitely looking forward to seeing how those two start performing at the box office. So hopefully we'll be able to get a chance to talk about those movies. Plus also as well, coming to television is Franklin on Apple Plus, starring Michael Douglas playing Ben Franklin overseas, trying to go ahead and provide more help for America in its battle in the Revolutionary War. So also as well, Fallout. That series is now on Amazon Prime. We'll talk about season one. I know Josh is looking forward to that conversation coming up on Monday's show. So definitely looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Plus, he will have hopefully more word on his thoughts on the three-body problem and The Sympathizer with Robert Downey Jr. That is also available out on Max. So go ahead and check that out as well if you're interested in seeing the continued work from Robert Downey Jr. In the lead-up, though, he did mention, as far as in interviews, that he would be, or he could, or he would welcome an opportunity to get back into Marvel movies if needed in the MCU. So that's a great sign there for obviously what Kevin Feige wanted to hear, but also as well for MCU fans around the world that there could be a possible return to the world of the MCU in some form or fashion if they find the right storyline. I don't think they'll ever bring back the Iron Man that passed away in Avengers Endgame, but there's so many different ways with the multiverse now to go ahead and get him back involved. I'm sure they could find something that he would agree to and be amenable to and hopefully be able to get him back in there. So yeah, definitely looking forward to hearing what he can do and seeing what he can do if he makes a return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Also looking forward in the hopefully in the coming days to get a chance to catch up with TJ Johnson and also as well also Himanish Goel, our Indian expert. He's going to go ahead and, as our resident Indian expert, please give us some thoughts on the success of Monkey Man, Dev Patel's latest outing as his directorial debut, to see if that's something that did well across the entire international and domestic channels, to see what this will do as far as this movie, see if it can elevate the world of Indian movies as far as that's concerned. So yep, definitely looking forward to having him back on the show. TJ Johnson wants to talk about X-Men 97. Definitely want to go ahead and hear what he has to say about that, because I know he's been excited. I know the latest episode that just dropped on Disney Plus provided a lot of intrigue and conversation. So yes, definitely looking forward to seeing I can get him on the show as well. So yeah, absolutely looking forward to some great conversations in the coming days. And you can always catch it right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, or also as well wherever you get your podcasts, and on great radio stations worldwide. I also want to go ahead and thank our sponsor, Retro City Games, and congratulate them. After we talked at length the other day in regards to them, they're having to go ahead and relocate one of their locations out of one area of Las Vegas Boulevard. They have relocated and are announcing an opening soon at the Premium Outlets Mall South on Las Vegas Boulevard, just about, I'd say, two blocks away from where they were before. So, yes, they have done a great job there. So if you have any retro game needs, go ahead and get it fixed today, right now at their Henderson location, Retro City Games. So again, truly appreciate you stopping by for the PC Multiverse. It's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. It is truly appreciated. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the PCC Multiverse. Thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great